Welcome to Talking Baseball. We've got an interview with Kevin Biggio and some headlines around the camps. Let's go. What's going on, everybody? Welcome to Talking Baseball. My name is John Boy. I'm coming to you from the Bronx headquarters of John Boy Media, and sitting right next to me, we can touch hands if we want.
Coronavirus
is my co-host, good friend, Jake Storielli, and we're in the Bronx, and this is exciting. It's our first Monday. I feel like first full week.
First Monday.
In office. We have a full slate of shows to record, and I couldn't be more excited about it. How are you doing, Jake?
I'm good, man. I'm a New Yorker now. I got Tim's jeans Yankee shirt. I didn't wear this into the office. I'm sure you've been probably curious of how hard I've been leaning. No, I wore a regular shirt like that, and I brought this just because, A, and I'll be kind of self-conscious for a second. I thought people were going to give me crap. I just wore like a normal gray shirt, and I thought people were going to be like, bro, Jake, you're in the office just wearing a normal gray shirt. And yes, I do wear normal clothes.
You dressed up.
But office also really warm, and I forgot about that. So I was wearing a long sleeve shirt and switched into this instantly because when I got here this morning.
Oh, did you had to open up the windows?
No, BBD beat me, and he cranked the he got the windows up, but
it's almost like whoever gets here first, all 20 windows.
Yeah.
You lower my headphones.
It was sauna mode a little bit.
Yeah. I have a pair of shorts in my backpack.
And yeah, at that the temperature I walked in at, it was like, I definitely have to change into the jersey now or my day's ruined.
you don't even know how bad it you'll find out when, like, summer we're going to be in hell because we can't have an air conditioner in here, but man, when it was winter and it was 20 degrees outside and they were blasting the heat. All the heaters are off. So imagine if they're on.
Yeah.
I jimmied all those.
And so I'm doing well.
Yeah, doing well.
You look
good.
I'm actually mad at you.
Why?
So you kind of went at the Jakes from State Farm last night?
No, I didn't. I had sympathy for them.
Yeah, we don't want your sympathy.
I know.
The Jakes have enough going on. Deal with the Jimmies. Sprinkles.
Yeah,
Jimmy rigging things.
Like, I like that.
Deal with the Jimmies. Leave the Jakes out of it.
I had so much sympathy. I do think that there's some Jakes that quit State Farm because of that commercial.
1,000%.
Right? And that's that's a funny story.
The guy in my building, new building I moved in New York, Jake from State Farm, instantly.
Yeah. Oh,
the Jakes have been so poorly represented, and it's actually sad. Like, if I do get popular, I'm going to be one of the faces of the Jakes, and it's a brutal look.
They got, like, Gyllenhaal.
Gyllenhaal is kind of not accepted by the Jakes.
he's one of the best actors going.
I know. So you think the Jakes would have him with welcome arms, but he's kind of not.
All right. Anyway.
Who do you have after Gyllenhaal, by the way?
Jake from Twilight.
I mean, and that's not even it's Jacob.
No, there's other Jakes.
You'd be surprised, man. It's shocking. Like, Jake Plummer was a pretty meh NFL quarterback, and he's high on the list.
Ellsbury.
Jacoby.
Okay, anyway, I had sympathy for the Jakes. I wasn't coming after them at all. I
don't need sympathy.
I need someone to write an article about all the names that have been ruined by corporate America. Like, Alexa. You can't name a girl Alexa now.
Yeah.
Her life's ruined.
Yeah.
Jake got ruined, you know?
Everything's cyclical, I think.
Yeah, everything is.
Like, Alexa will have a huge comeback in 15 years.
Maybe, but then she's going to deal with some old. So Jake Gyllenhaal is the most famous Jake.
Yeah, Jake
Paul. According to Ranker.com famous list. Oh, Jake Paul's probably up there.
He's definitely the leader in the clubhouse
right
now.
That sucks, though.
Yeah, it's tough. But that's more of a Jake vibe, honest.
That is more of a Jake vibe. Yeah. Jake LaMotta.
I mean, that's going back. People don't even know who that is anymore.
I know, 97 years old. That's number two ranked famous Jake.
I'm telling you, the Jakes have been missed. Jake from State Farm is, I just typed in Jake, and I think Jake from State Farm is fourth on the list.
Jake Locker?
Who's Jake Cannavale?
Anyway.
Jake Locker was a bust. Cannavale is a musician. So, yeah, the Jakes are here, and I'm excited in New York. Commute went decently.
Nice. I got here late. I was mad at myself. We're getting here late.
Stuff happens in New York.
Well, when I mean, you rely on public transportation, yeah, and you're going to get fucked. But that's actually, that is half the reason why I was late, because they're doing construction at my bus stop. So we have to walk to the next stop. Just brutal.
Dude.
Walk to the next stop? Oh, we have a stop. Just don't do construction at it, you know?
Yeah. Tough.
Anyway, this episode of Talking Baseball is brought to you by our dear friends. I don't know which camera's on right now, but John Round, Brandon K35, Mika Vaughn. I like that name. Mika Vaughn, and Jenna Muriel. I think I might have copied and pasted that name wrong.
Yeah.
I think I'm missing a vowel. In
Muriel. She came to our spring training event.
Oh, yeah. Spring. I think she's coming to the Bronx, too.
Should.
Thank you very much.
I should. Should we tell our Talking Baseball fans we're having a Yankees party in the Bronx, or should we not mention that?
We're having a Yankees party in the Bronx if you listen to the show and you're not a Yankees fan and you live in the New York area. There might be some of those.
Yeah.
Mets fans.
Yeah.
If you're a Mets fan and you listen to this and you want to come to our launch party.
Billy's in the Bronx.
It's at Billy's in the Bronx.
Saturday at
Saturday.
Seven?
In the park. 7 o'clock.
Okay.
Yes. Yeah.
So there you go.
Those are our most recent Patreons. We appreciate them very much.
Thank you.
We do have an interview with Kevin Biggio.
Second baseman.
And I want to clarify something for people that watch this on YouTube.
I have a clarification after your clarification.
All right, a couple clarifications. We're running hot with clarifications. I've been separating the interview and the episode on YouTube. So if you were watching on YouTube, the Kevin Biggio interview will be an entirely separate video. But if you're listening on the podcast app, it will come up on this episode. So on the audio, they are combined. On YouTube, they are separate. We've been doing that and people have been confused, so I'm just clarifying.
Okay, my clarification, is it Biggio or Biggio? Because I said Biggio.
I thought you said Biggio.
See, now I don't know.
Because I always said Biggio.
Doing it Biggio.
Yeah.
Because that's what I'm thinking
during
of.
The interview, I believe you say Biggio, and then you know how scared I get to say right. people's names in front of them? I got so scared, because I did the intro for the card game, I think. And I think I just went fast with, like, Biggio.
So on his Cavins doesn't have the pronunciation. His dad's has Biggio. Biggio.
It's Biggio, right?
Biggio, yeah.
Do you have a take on this, BBD?
I lean Biggio.
Okay. I think that's right.
All right, great stuff.
Okay, so if we said it wrong, either way, tweet at Kevin on Twitter at doing it Biggio. You'll hear us mention that. But, yeah, tweet at him, Instagram at him. He was a really cool dude.
He was cool.
Still is.
Nah, he could have changed after
Still
the
interview. Did the interview change him a little bit, you think?
Yeah. All right. We have some topics to go over that are hot in baseball.
Hot topics.
Juan Soto and Jack Flaherty, two young studs.
Good players. We know half of them.
Both declined. This is an interesting process. So they're pre-arbitration, so they're just team controlled. So teams can just straight up say, this is your raise. This is what we're paying for you. And all of the teams do it different ways, you know? They value different things. They put different monetary values on different things. So they both offered Juan Soto and Flaherty what they're going to, like, this is what you're making next year.
Right.
Congrats. You got bumped up a little bit.
Yep.
Both of them said, nah, not happening. Yeah. No way. I need more. I don't get how it fully works. So then the team goes back and gives them more?
I mean, I think this is a newer thing. I'll be honest. I'm not super familiar with this. I'm assuming what this is, I mean, these guys clearly being superstars and the best players on their teams. Yeah. So they're going to them and being like, hey, you got to do something.
Yeah, so Flaherty said that he denies it out of principle. So a lot of rookies just accept it. But Flaherty was like, out of principle, just because the system's so stupid, I am saying no to this. I think the team can be like, all right, don't care. I tried to research this on the bus right here, and I was really troubling. I couldn't find exactly how it works, but I think the team sometimes in good faith goes and finds a little bit more. So check this out. Flaherty got a 10K bonus for finishing fourth in the Cy Young.
Sure.
But he gets a 10K penalty for not accepting the terms of the contract that they, so it washed out.
It's tough.
So anyway, they settled. Soto is making $629,000 this upcoming season. And Flaherty, I think he's making around the same. For some reason, I don't have it typed out here. They're both making, like, less than $2 million.
Slightly over the minimum
of
what they should be making.
And it's just a reminder that the system is stupid right now.
System's bizarre. Truly bizarre that two of the best players in the league make towards the minimum. And, yeah, I mean, it's go check out our CBA episode with Plouffe. We touched upon some of this stuff, but and I think we always assume that our listeners are intense baseball people that kind of know the pre-arb and some of the salary stuff. But if you saw Juan Soto last playoffs and then you found out that he makes, you know, bottom 10th percentile of what people make in the league.
He was the star of the World Series.
Yes.
I mean, not like, not the Rendon, Strasburg, I mean, obviously they all, I'm not saying Rendon won the World Series for them, but as far as like watching a game, and I would ask my mom who doesn't know the Nationals, like, who do you think the star is? She's like, well, that guy's on TV a lot.
Right.
Making a lot of money off that.
What is the solution though? Because at the same time, well, and we're not going to actually fully deep dive into CBA solution, but I mean, these guys are also the one percenters.
Yeah.
Juan Soto and Jack Flaherty are the outliers of everyone else.
And I thought there was something in place for like, hey, Gio Urshela earned himself an extra $1 million last year because he performed so well in a specific amount of years and he was so vital to a team, and there's some equation that says, like, you know what, you earned more money.
Right.
Like, you're going to get to the next step. I forget what it is, but there needs to be something in place.
Yeah.
Like, hey, if that dude's a mainstay on your roster, just helped you win the World Series.
Yeah.
Like, Flaherty was the best, but Flaherty was the best pitcher at the second half. Let me finish that thought. So he deserves it, but Soto, like, so much deserves it.
Yeah. I guess something with Cy Young and MVP votes, but then that becomes a whole ordeal, too, because I know that's a nightmare for you because you get the bad beat writers and stuff.
Oh, yeah. Don't let the beat writers dictate players' money. That's fucked.
We'll shoot this one to Plouffe and get him hot because Flaherty's his boy, too. So he'll have a fire take.
Fire take.
He's so ugly. I hate him. What else do you have, Jim?
Well, sad news. Trey Mancini has left Orioles camp, set to undergo medical procedure unrelated to baseball. I mean, everyone has come to the same guess, and I'm not even going to voice it. You can take your own guess. There's kind of no reason to speculate. We know it's personal. We know it's not a baseball injury. We know that everyone is feeling really sympathetic and sending their best wishes and prayers and however they deal with that his way. It is sad. Just kind of a sad reminder that life exists and these guys are humans. He tweeted. Did you see his tweet?
Yeah.
He said, I want to express my heartfelt gratitude to everyone for their kind sentiments and well wishes. It further drives home the fact that I am surrounded by the best family, friends, teammates, and fans that I could ever ask for. And then there was a follow-up tweet that said, once there is more clarity, I will be sure to keep everyone updated. Over the next few days, I look forward to a healthy recovery and being back on the field soon. I mean, who knows? He's going to miss a lot of time, it seems like.
Yeah, your head naturally jumps to the worst things possible when that amount of information is shared and that's it. I mean, we'll have to see. Like he said, you know, he's got to make sure he knows what's going on, and when he does, if him and his family's comfortable sharing what's going on. But, yeah, crazy sad news, and, I mean, it's kind of tough. We went to Orioles camp, and, you know, it's easy to take your jabs at the Orioles because they're in a tough spot as a franchise right now. But, I mean, he's kind of the guy you go to see with the Orioles, and it's a real bummer, and you just have to – wish him the best, and whatever it is, hopefully, you know, he can be back sooner than later. But, yeah, scary sad news of the weekend.
Yeah, get better, Trey Mancini.
Done.
One of the Orioles worth watching.
Yeah.
So, need him to get better.
Please.
All right, we'll pivot.
Pivot.
To a fun story.
Okay, I like those.
Jose Bautista.
Joey Bats, your guy.
Joey Bats, trying to become Joey Arms.
Joey Bats,
he kind of like...
I typed Joey Bats into Baseball Reference. So.
He didn't retire. No one wanted him as a position player anymore. He's 38 years old or 9 years old, and he wants to return as a pitcher.
Arms fresh. Not a lot of miles.
Someone was quoted saying that he sits 92.
He's got some, as my dude Ryan Yarbrough said, he's got the funk. He's always had a weird, when he was playing third base, he had a weird throw over to first. He's got a little funk in that arm. October 19th, 1980. So, yeah, he's 39. I'm rooting for this very hardcore.
Of course.
Because if you're not hardcore, and you if you live hardcore,
yeah.
School of Rock people, go watch a movie.
Let's rock.
Yeah. I mean, A, it would be awesome because this is a guy who's hit 50 home runs in a season. And yeah, dude, you just know I love the versatile guys, and I get not one of the things I get louder about is that yes, Ohtani is awesome and he's a special dude, but I think these two-way guys have been cut off.
Yes.
We
agree.
I think guys throughout the years could have been two-way players.
There was 100 years of just not allowed.
Yeah, they just said no. Like, even Babe Ruth, it made him stop pitching.
Yeah, I have a strong belief he would have ate himself
right.
off the mound.
You're on your eat himself off the mound theory there. But, yeah, man, I'm all for this because this is the future of baseball, and I think baseball was kind of idiots for the past 100 years.
So what's
because a lot of times in sports, the best athletes are the best athletes.
He's going to the Olympics and he's going to play for the DR, and he's not going to pitch though. He's going to play first base and hit. But yeah, he wants to come back and pitch. Oh, this. So he's got a slider. Passan says he has a nice slider. So this baseball MLB trade rumors says that he's not going to be Joey Bats. He's going to become Joey Sliders.
Ooh, Joey Sliders, which was
no Joey Arms is better.
Yeah,
Joey Arm.
Joey Throws, Joey Toss, Joey Pelota.
Joey Pelota.
Is that your Spanish broadcaster? I haven't seen that one out of you a lot.
No, that was...
did you sneeze in the
middle
there?
He wasn't Spanish. Okay. He's from Chile.
Oh.
Yes.
Not a ton of Chilean baseball players yet.
Too much beach.
Yeah.
I mean, what are you going to do?
Football. Yeah, I mean, this... I don't know. From 2010, you want some stats, Jim?
Sure.
From 2010 to 2015, six seasons, Joey Bats hit 227 home runs.
Yeah, so are you thinking this is kind of like a concoction thing? Like he went to the DR and he's like, you know, got concocted up and he was like, wait, this actually may have helped.
Well, this might go against your Joey Bats was on future steroids. I
think he took the wrong steroids. I think he went to the DR.
He took the pitcher steroids?
Took the pitcher steroids instead of hitter steroids. Like, fuck, gotta make best use of this. They're in me now.
I'll put this in the Joey Bats maybe didn't take future steroids. And if you haven't heard that John Boy theory, well, we'll get that to you another time.
It's been documented.
But I don't know. Like, this gives something that, like, this dude just loves baseball so much. He made his money. He got coin. He hit a bunch of homers. And now here we are, you know, 54 homers in 2010. In 2020, we're talking about him being a relief pitcher hoping to sneak. And you know he's – part of him is just doing this so he could sneak at bats, right?
I will become a pitcher, but only in the National League.
I mean, he's totally trying to sneak at bats.
And only a starting pitcher.
And I think that's obvious. But yeah, it's really cool, and
here's the thing.
If 39-year-old Jose Bautista can do it, that will open the door for a lot of people. Because like,
he's not doing it. I mean, they're gonna send him to Double A.
The Mets exist.
Ah, fuck. Yeah, they might have him just throw BP to Tebow.
What's the Mets checklist? Can you pitch in a bullpen?
The Mets,
hopefully.
The Mets are.
Can you play bad defense? Absolutely.
Yeah, but no, the Mets are he's going to get sent to like Double A somewhere, and he's going to be like, fuck this. I don't want to do this. But I like the idea of the Mets because they have Tebow just because it makes them money in the minor league system, you know?
Sure.
So I like the idea.
Well, and he's figuring it out.
Oh, he'll get there. But I like the idea of Joey Bats coming down and just throwing bullpen sessions to Tebow in front of crowds. Like, that's like what the Mets sell now.
It's good content. Like, I go.
I'd go to one as well.
Mets are light years ahead of everyone. So. I don't know. For some reason, I believe in Joey Bats. I'm gonna do this. He loves baseball. Two pitch reliever. He's kind of insane, apparently. I don't know.
The chat. I like looking at the chat. Sean McLaughlin in the Patreon only chat. He says Joey Twirls.
Joey Twirls, that ain't bad.
Because that can be good and bad.
Yeah.
I like that.
Joey Twirls. Leave a... I was going to ask for a review. I don't want a review right now.
Only review this podcast if you genuinely want to review this podcast.
Yeah, that's fair.
We're not going to fucking hound you.
Opening day,
episode.
We'll do a sucker one, but yeah.
One sucker begging for reviews a month, and that's all. I was listening to some of my podcasts, man. They do it every episode. Get over yourself.
Joey Bats.
If people want to leave a 5-star review, they'll leave one.
Dude, his 2010, 2011 have to be up there on like two of the best back-to-back seasons there's been.
Noah Dubois in the chat. Joey Gass.
Joey Gass. I mean, that's so good.
Oh, that's great.
That's good. Joey Heat. I mean, yeah.
No, Gass.
There's a lot of different things. Yeah. Joey Gass is good.
If he was a bowler.
You've been called Joey Gass,
Joey Rolls.
Too. Joey Rolls.
That's only if he became a bowler, though.
It's Jimmy Rollins.
Okay. Next up. Cespedes' little brother.
Yoelkis.
Is that how you pronounce it?
Yoelkis? It's got to be.
Yoelkis.
Yoannis and Yoelkis. That's a tough. That's the tough. I don't know. You picture like the American sitcom where the dad and the son have a similar name and the mom yells something and they both say, what?
Like Didi Gregorius, his brother and his dad are both nicknamed Didi.
Right. That's tough.
Big Didi, little Didi, biggest
that
Didi.
That can make things confusing. Yoannis and Yoelkis, I guess, there's a big twist in the middle. You can't listen to the first half when mom's calling your name. You just got to listen for that middle noise.
Okay. Middle noise. D-D. That was the end noise.
Oh, no.
All right. Cespedes Family Barbecue.
Yes.
We've called them live on the show before, but.
Yeah.
I mean, did they know that they're Yoelkis fans as well? Because they're not just Cespedes fans. They're the family.
Yeah.
So this is huge for them.
Do we make the call? I'm a little scared.
You want to try and call them?
Let's give them a call.
All right. We'll give them
a call. I tried to FaceTime. It was Friday when you and I were in the studio. I tried to FaceTime Jake because he, A, just had his surgery, and there's something else I want to tell him. But
I think I'm still hooked up to the board. So as long as BBD has the Bluetooth up, we can give him a call.
He had not said yes. This has become one of my favorite parts of the show.
All right. Now you can talk. Hello.
What's up?
Hey, we're recording Talking Baseball. Now we came into a burning question. Did you guys know Yoelkis existed and that you were have to be fans of him as well?
Yeah, we know. We know about the little one.
Okay.
Because it's Cespedes Family Barbecue.
Yeah, I mean, it's the Avengers universe.
Okay.
Are there any other Cespedeses that we need to know about, that you know about?
There are none that I need to know about right now, but I would not be surprised if in decades there are more.
Yeah. You're going to have to track the kids, and you're going to have to track their kids and stuff.
You have to wait till then.
Wow.
To see who's coming.
That's huge. Hey, if you're in New York, just come to our office.
Is he calling from his shower right now?
Are you showering?
I'm currently
on the train. Oh, you're on the train? Cool. Thanks, man. Appreciate it.
Of course.
All right, see ya.
Miss you.
So they knew. And he knows that he has a lineage to root for. Damn. These guys are in deep.
Deep with that one.
Anyway, Yoelkis is 20 years old, I believe. And Yoannis is 34. So, I mean...
How old's Yoelkis? I zoned out for that part.
I think he's 20.
20?
Yeah.
Holy smokes.
Yeah, he's young. But 22? 25.
Okay.
That's different.
You're about to call them out, and you've got that same thing with your brother.
No, what I was going to call out was that I was going to try and figure out when Yoannis left.
Sure.
But it was actually older because it's Cuba. I thought it was DR. He leaves at 16, and I was like, did he just... They knew he was about to leave to go get drafted, and they're like, let's have another baseball player. This money was awesome.
Time out. I've got Yoelkis at 22 years old.
All right.
So now we're – Yoelkis Cespedes is somewhere between 20 and 25 years old.
My joke that I was going to make, which I kind of just said, was that Yoannis left at 16.
Right.
And they got a nice signing bonus, And the family was like, let's do that again.
Yeah.
If we're just a birthing machine of baseball this players. Smart. So then he had a brother 16 years younger than him, and now he's going to get the signing bonus. But it doesn't make sense because they're not in the DR. They're in Cuba.
Yeah.
But, you know, it was almost there.
It almost happened. Good luck, Yoelkis.
I mean, the Mets will just pick him up? No, the Mets are done with Cespedes.
Think so? Yeah. That was a whole thing.
It'd be cool if he does the same exact route, like goes to the A's, then the Tigers, then the Red Sox, then the Mets.
Yeah, I guess so.
Yeah. You think it would be cool as well?
Kind of. I like Yankees.
All right. How about this?
Yoelkis, Yankees? There's something there, right?
Did we not talk about Yelich's extension? I think BBD said we talked about it on the TPP for the Brewers.
Yeah, that
makes
sense.
Which is still on this podcast, but we didn't talk about it on the main episode.
On this podcast, but not here.
But good for Yelich. Got locked up. Good for the Brewers locking him up.
Yeah, I think the internet reacted a little bit, and there's this weird... I guess it's a weird damned if you do, damned if you don't. Well, I guess when I say that, I'm thinking about Mookie, and when I'm thinking about Mookie, I'm thinking about Boston fans, but... There's almost this stigma now that if you're one of the big dudes and you don't go to free agency, you're the bad guy, except for Mookie. But that's Boston fans. Mookie, go to free agency. Get paid. I think what gets missed here a little bit is, like, and when Harper and Machado hit free agency, they were 26. Yelly's 28 right now. So he got his giant payday that I think it's, what is it, maximum 8 years and 215 or something like that? He got the bag, and good for him. I mean, he was supposed to be this talented, kind of gangly dude on the Marlins, and then he's developed into this MVP all-world player, and he got paid.
Yeah, I like it.
Smart. So that's good.
They also locked up Freddy Peralta.
Your guy.
For a little bit.
You love Freddy P.
I didn't look into that deal. What is that deal?
I think it was just like a... arbitration type thing. Freddy Peralta is a name that you think he's an old guy because there's been a lot of pitchers named Peralta, but he's actually young.
Are you serious? 24.
Yes.
Because I think of him as an older dude.
No, Freddy Peralta on the Brewers is 23, but there's been a bunch of Peraltas. There's been...
And a bunch of Freddies.
And I think Willie Peralta used to be on the Brewers.
Is Freddy and Peralta popular names?
I don't think... Well... Depends how you label it. I think Freddie could be labeled as a popular name.
Yes. I mean, Peralta, there's Wandy Peralta, Willie Peralta, David Peralta, and Freddie, all right in the league right now. Joel Peralta and Johnny Peralta both
so
recently
what
left.
Throws it off is Willie Peralta was a pitcher for the Brewers.
Okay.
So that's definitely what's skewing the scale on this. But Freddie Peralta, no, he's just a young guy who basically had his arbitration bought out.
Yeah, he's 24 years old. Okay, they bought out his arbitration. Good. That's
congrats.
Like the new most popular thing to do.
You did it.
You did it. We don't really have much else. Like, a lot of stuff's going on in spring. Is Chris Davis still the best spring training player in history?
Well, that's what I've got for you, and I had my moment of genius, as I always have.
Jake's moment of genius.
I thought I'd bring up some stats for you. Some spring training stats.
Yeah. Can you play the This Doesn't Matter at All sound drop?
Play the This Doesn't Matter at All sound
Nothing
drop.
I say should
you don't
be
have
important
the volume
to anyone.
Oh,
Nothing
yeah.
Nothing I say should be important to anyone.
Oh, my God.
It's pretty good.
Did you know you were hitting that one?
Wow.
Wow, that's a huge moment for me.
What a confident.
I almost hit the wrong one. I knew it was one of two.
Okay. Not right. bad.
Not bad.
500. Yeah. Jimmy, so I'll give you some stuff you're going to like first. I'll give you some of the weird shit.
Okay.
So there are currently 24 guys in spring training with batting averages of 1,000.
24?
24.
What's the minimum at bat? One?
Yeah. So we've got...
who's got the most
so
at
bat? There's two guys... there's three guys that are 3 for 3.
That's awesome.
And then we've got... How many guys are 2 for 2? I think one.
That's the most? 3 at bats?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
There's no 4 for 4s?
No 4 for 4s. But I don't know. So what are those guys thinking?
Nothing.
Give me some at bats.
Yeah. I mean, those are...
I figured it out, coach. I mean,
those are guys that no one cares about.
I haven't made an out yet.
Yeah.
So the guy that needs to be highlighted of this crew who you're going to like is Jason Krizan. He's 31. He's a lifetime minor leaguer. He's 3 for 3 with 2 homers.
Krizan?
Yeah, Krizan.
Krizan.
Yeah, go a couple ways with that.
He has two homers?
Yeah. He's a lifetime minor leaguer from 22 to age 30. He's 3-for-3 with two home runs this spring.
Damn, he's from Pflugerville High School.
Pflugerville.
Pflugerville High School in Texas. That's the name of it.
Yes. Yes.
Pflugerville.
So I don't know. I just thought you'd like that a little bit. Do you know who's leading? And again, spring training, very important. You know who's leading in home runs?
Kratz. No.
Power hitting shortstop Orlando Arcia.
Oh, yeah.
5 home runs this spring.
Hell yeah.
So he's figured it out. Problem solved. He's tied with Cody Thomas, who looks like he's 25 and on the Dodgers. Not familiar.
I think that the Padres are like winning a lot. I don't pay attention to wins and losses in spring training at all. And so when it always blows my mind when people do. Blows my mind when people pay attention to the score of the spring training game.
Right.
Like the Yankees were up 3 or down 3 and then they tied it in 3-3 and the announcers were like, "You got to think the manager's happy that they came back and tied it right away." And I'm like, "No, they don't. No one cares."
Oh, dude, you
why do announcers try to trick people into thinking that matters? Like nobody cares about that.
We might have to make this a segment on the show, but I've told you my Uncle Rick goes to the Pirates spring training games and he keeps the score and stuff. Dude, when he goes to the games, he writes like a review of the game.
Oh my God. Can I read this?
Yeah.
Okay, so this is Jake's Uncle Rick's review.
Uncle Rick's review. Uncle Rick's review segment.
Of the Pirates game on March 1st. What a game today. Yeah, I know spring training stats mean nothing, but it was glorious to see us plate 7 runs in the first 2 innings. And then hang on for a 13-9 victory.
See?
Most of the runs were given up by Yaxel Rios and Luis Escobar, neither of whom is likely to make the opening day roster. The defense was solid for the second day in a row. One error by Cruz at shortstop. You know what? Like, this is actually a great service. Pirates fans, go follow Jake's Uncle Rick.
Yeah.
I mean, he says it doesn't matter, but, like, Tucker started a nifty double play and looked very solid at shortstop. Bell made...
He's got it.
I wanted to think your uncle was being a little crazy.
No.
This is a great service for Pirates.
Locked in.
Go follow Uncle Rick on Facebook. I might read his Facebook post and I'd be the most
crazy. He's talking about experimenting with a 4-man outfield. It's really good stuff. If you need your Pirates update. I think I found another weird Jimmy thing that you'll like.
So, wait. The Padres, I think, are, like, I was reading in the Padres subreddit. They're like, what does this really mean? Oh, fuck, I forget what it was. Because I think they are winning a lot of games. Like, it means nothing, everyone.
Juan Soto and Randy Arozarena.
Arozarena?
And Joey Votto are leading the league in walks, which I was going to make fun of because it's spring training.
But Joey Votto doesn't swing in spring training. Like he says, that he just wants to see the ball as best he can. So he's doing a good job.
He's doing a great job of that.
Wait. The baseball reference for Randy's last name is Arozarena.
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 It's a good name.
He's from Cuba as well.
Let's see. Salvador Perez has 4 hit by pitches. That's pretty brutal.
Oh, damn.
That sucks.
That blows. Coming
as
off
the
injury.
Catcher?
Coming off injury, too.
He's got to be pissed off.
Quit hitting him.
Yeah, stop hitting Salvador Perez.
Come on about it.
That
blows.
That's brutal.
How many
man.
Games has he played? 5?
12 games. He's playing a lot.
Whoa. I guess because of the injury, he really wants to get into the swing of things.
Oh, this is going to be a mean one. Do you want most errors committed?
What's going on with the Royals' backup catcher situation? Salvi's playing, like, every game. Is it a battle? Because that sucks for them, because they're getting, like, less innings.
I mean, it feels like one of those when the veteran player asks to play a lot.
Oh, yeah, because he's coming back from injury. Yeah. He probably wants to get back his reps in. He's been out for a full year.
And you know what? I got to be honest with you. I'm not super tuned into the Royals' backup catcher situation.
That's bullshit.
So if you're a Royals fan, tweet at us. Let us know what's going on.
That's
there.
Bullshit. You know it. So what's the most errors? This is mean.
Yeah, I'm not going to do it. It's a young kid. If it was an old guy, I would do
it's
it
like
just because
like
that's
a prospect?
Fun. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Cool.
Do you need any pitching stats? Is most innings pitched in spring training like the worst news? No, I guess because pitchers are building up their pitch count.
Who is it?
Let's see.
Is it Hap?
Hap's got to be close, right? Dakota Hudson, 12.1 innings in a blowout. Josh Lindblom, second, 10 innings.
Get it, Lindblom. Trying to impress his new team.
Yeah, he's coming from overseas. Lizardo, 13 strikeouts and 8.1 innings. Yeah, spring training stats don't matter at all.
No. Well, there's the you can
but
take
baseball's
nuggets.
Still happening.
You can take nuggets from them, but don't matter at all.
Justice Sheffield having a nice spring, Jim.
He added a new pitch. We could call like Jordan that? From Suspense Family Barbecue.
No, we can't double down.
All right, we're going to throw it to our interview with Kevin Biggio. But before we do that, Jake, I have a very important question.
We are here, myself, John Boy, and Blue Jays stud, Kevin Biggio. How you doing, man?
Good, man. Happy to be here. Thanks for having me.
Thanks for coming out, dude. We just told you we're having a blast on this trip, and we're glad we got to hook up with you. Dunedin? Am I saying that right?
You are saying it right, yeah.
I wasn't for about a week to get to this point, but how's spring going, man? How you doing?
It's good, man. It's good to be back. Good to be back playing baseball again. You know, first couple weeks of spring training, just getting back at it, getting back into the swing of things, no pun intended. But, but yeah, I mean, it's just good to be back with the guys and getting back in the batter's box on the field, getting used to wearing the spikes again. So, you know, body's feeling good and looking forward for the rest of spring.
We started this trip 10 days ago, and we've been doing a lot of driving. It's still February, and you have a month left of spring training. Are you like, get me to the season?
Spring training is long. I mean, it's all about for the starting pitchers to build themselves up. I mean, I think if you asked the majority of position players in any locker room, they would say they probably need about 2 weeks of it, and they're ready to go. But you know, it is what it is. It's you kind of learn how to space out your workload. You know, maybe play like three innings one game, and the next day play five, then a couple off days and three again, and then eventually work your way up to nine innings and then get ready for the season. But yeah, it's a long spring, but you know, I enjoy it.
Is there a little more of a spark around here? Because, I mean, obviously the Baby Jays, I mean, you guys had a bunch of dudes come up. And, I mean, this offseason was a real nice offseason. I mean, Ryu comes over, Roark, I'm sure.
Shoemaker.
I'm missing other dudes. But, not. I mean, you guys come up, free agents come in. And, I mean, this has to be exciting, right?
Yeah, there's definitely a ton more buzz around here than last year and the year before that. I mean, you know, those 2015, 2016 Blue Jays teams, you know, with Donaldson, Bautista, Tulo. I mean, those teams were a lot of fun to watch. And, you know, we took a dip for the past couple of years. But yeah, like you said, we got a lot of young guys in that locker room. We made a lot of good acquisitions this offseason. And, yeah, I mean, we're all excited. I think we have a lot of potential for this year. I think we can come up and surprise a lot of guys. But yeah, I think the future's bright here in Toronto.
When you're looking around, when you get picked up by the Blue Jays, you're going through the system, and you see Vladdy Jr. and you see Bichette, are you like, wait, hold on, we're all on the same team? Is this the Blue Jays analytics department?
Yeah, dude. So, like, I was playing with Vladdy. I was playing with Bo for the first time, actually here in the Florida State League, and I talked to our head of development, field coordinator, Gil Kim, and I'm like, dude, what do we – like, we just drafted Casey Clemens, who's in the minor leagues with us, and – we had Grugelonic's nephew, and then we ended up drafting Conine, too. I'm like, dude, what are we
doing? Even Gurriel is
baseball family. I'm like, dude, what are we doing? Like, is this something that's in the, you know, is this in your equation or something?
The Toronto bloodlines.
Yeah, and he's like, he was like, honestly, like, no. Like, we just draft all you guys because we like the players that you are. And I was just like, I was calling BS on him. Like, there's no way, man. Like, you look at any other organization, they don't have it. But I mean, the people – and the players that we are take us to where we are and who we've become today. So, I mean, it's fun and it's exciting.
I mean, it's got to be kind of a weird, like, bond, though. Like, you guys grew up in clubhouses and around this, like, you're baseball lifers. I mean, the three of you, is there, like, a little bit of, like, a different connection there, or is it all the same?
I would think that there was more of an immediate connection when we first met each other. I think our involvement with our dads in the game was a little bit different. Like, my dad retired when I was 12, so I was around a good bit. But Bo, his dad retired when he was 4, so he really didn't get to experience it as much. I mean, his dad was a hitting coach for the Rockies, and he was around it more then. But it's just unique to kind of share our same experiences and the ways we had it a different way. But yeah, I think initially it was a good initial, you know, bond there.
Did you guys have a moment yet? And we'll start getting into silly stuff because that's what we do. But did you have a moment yet? Because Trevor Plouffe, who was running around with us, we were talking about when he was on the Twins and looking around and you're up and you see the guys you came up with. Have you guys had a moment yet? And maybe it was after the season, but, you know, you look around and you see Vlad and you see Flo Bichette and you see Gurriel Jr. And you just see all these young guys that I'm sure you saw a little bit on the way. And it's like, damn, we're here. Because, I mean, it's Major League Baseball. Like, nothing's promised. You have to get there, and Major League Baseball is different. Was there a moment after the season or maybe during a game where you looked around and you're like, wait, this is the high A team I played with 2 years ago, and now we're playing at Yankee Stadium or wherever you're playing?
Yeah, I mean, getting called up, I mean, going in the locker room and seeing a guy like Vladimir Guerrero, a guy I played with for 3 years, and then Gurriel, a guy I also played with 2 years, and it's just it's comforting going in that locker room because there's a lot of those guys you don't really know, that you've never really played with besides in the spring training. And just going in that locker room, there's that comfort. And I think that moment for me was when Bo got called up at the deadline. So we're playing in Kansas City, and, you know, I look over, I see Vlad at third, I see Bo at short, and I'm like, we've been doing this for years. Like, this is, like, finally, like, we're here, and now it's time for us to really start going now.
Do you ever tell Bo, like, chill out with some of those big swings? Because, I mean, some of his big ones are like, dude.
He gets after it.
No, I mean, like, that's something him and his dad have always talked about. Like, just swing as hard as you can. And then sometimes he's like, hey, if you're struggling, like, try and swing and fall down. And I'm like, I can't even.
He does that.
Yeah, he does do it. And I'm like, dude, if I'm swinging falling down, then I have no chance of hitting the ball. So, I mean, he's a special hitter. He's a special athlete. And, you know, only guys like him can do that.
How's Vladdy's grandma's cooking?
It's good. It's really good. I like every day she has it in the Blue Jays locker room, and it's mainly for the Latins, and they bring it for the whoever the visiting team is. They bring them to the other side too. So
you got to sneak some?
No, yeah. I like to tell them I'm like part Latin.
Yeah,
so I can get some of the you know, it's goat, it's chicken, it's pork, and then, you know, good rice too.
You think the Blue Jays, like, in-house cook is like, fuck, she's taking my job.
Oh, man. I mean, pretty much, pretty much.
What we've got some fun facts on you, but I'll open it up to you first. What outside of baseball, what should we know about Kevin Biggio?
You know, obviously I grew up in Houston. My dad, big outdoorsman, you may not know. So I grew up deer hunting in South Texas. So that's a big passion of that we share with me, my brother, and my dad. We got a ranch in South Texas that we like to go to. So that's probably a big thing for me.
Okay.
I heard McDonald's is also on the list there.
McDonald's? Yeah, I do like McDonald's. Guy. Yeah. You never know. Like late August, get out of a game. Maybe the post-game spread wasn't very good. You're playing some video games after the game. You know, Uber Eats and McDonald's is right there. You know, instead of push it a button.
Is your order dollar menu stuff?
Yeah.
Same. Yeah. We were told your order. We were given a little preview. And so I was like, that's my same order.
That's
McChicken,
where we live,
McChicken, McDouble.
And then a small fry.
There you go.
That's all you need.
Yeah. It's kind of wild. You're like, this costs $4. It fills me up.
Yeah.
Terrible for you, but whatever.
Isn't that
You're
bizarre?
A pro athlete. You can eat whatever you want. We can't eat McDonald's.
I do. This is the result. Thanks, Roosevelt, for sending us. Yeah, man, that's what's hunting? Cause so I grew up in Connecticut. I'm soft. I'll be honest with you.
Oh yeah,
I'm soft as hell. What if you go on a hunting trip? I mean, cause there's a lot of I don't want to say downtime, there's a lot of downtime.
Yeah,
is that relating it to sports? Is that therapeutic or is that like bonding time? Is that when the real conversations happen or what's that like for you?
Yeah, so when I go hunting when I got into bow hunting, you're really close, and you can't talk at all. So I go by myself, and, you know, it's just nice to get out there. It's quiet. It's kind of weird just to be so close to an animal that you're trying to kill, and they have no idea you're there. But if you make, like, a little flick of a noise, they look up right at you. So, I mean, it's challenging, and I think it's competitive in a sense where you're trying to compete with not trying to move or make any noises or try not to smell bad so they can smell you or whatever.
You'd suck at hunting.
Yeah, the RV times would not help with my hunting abilities.
I smell you right away.
Damn, that's bad. Tough.
But yeah, it's nice to get away from like the city, away from the sounds and everything, and just go out and enjoy a weekend or something like that. Yeah.
What are you doing with the meat? Are you cooking it and preparing it yourself, eating it?
Well, we skin it, and then we get all the meat and stuff, and we have so much deer meat at my house that just from hunting over the years, and my mom isn't a huge fan of it. So okay. We usually give it away to someone who needs it.
All right, there you go.
We like to give it to our janitors at our high school, and they give it out amongst their neighbors and stuff. Nice. So it's not going to waste. So, yeah, that's good.
Yeah. Speaking of your parents, everyone knows your dad, obviously. What's something you get from your mom? Like a trait or something that you bring to your game or your everyday life that comes from her?
I like to say that everything I do on the field and my work ethic, and not that my mom's not, she works her butt off, but I think when it comes to competitiveness, I'm mostly like my dad, and then pretty much everything off the field is kind of on my mom's side. Just, okay. You know, my dad, he just wears the same pair of jeans all weekend, you know, maybe two button-downs, and he's good to go. But, you know, me and my mom, we kind of share more of the same style and likes and interests off the field.
Are you a big haircut guy? I got my first show cut.
Yeah.
Andy Fates.
We were at Twins
Camp.
Yeah. I mean, I'm.
Show him the hard part.
I'm a hard first hard part ever.
We told Andy Fade to do whatever he wanted to him.
Are you a big haircut guy? Or what's the Toronto
haircut?
Yeah, I
just got one. I just got one. So when I'm at home in Houston, I don't really have a guy that really fades me up very well. But when I come here, I like to get. I went with the mohawk this time. It's kind of like a subtle hawk, is what I call it. It's like, oh, what do you got there? It's like a mohawk. Yeah. But I like the fades.
Who's the hair crew on Toronto? Like, who? If you're getting cuts, who's rolling with you?
Let's see. We actually have a lot of bald guys on our team this year, believe it or not. But I don't know. Danny Jansen's got a good one. Okay. He's got, like, the curly Jufro, and then he just shaves it into a really long, weird-looking mohawk that I dig. So, he's one of the big guys with it.
You got to get Bichette to put his hair on the line for something.
Won't touch that.
You out homer him or something like that.
Ooh,
he won't touch that. No, he won't touch that. It gets down to like his letters, and he's like sketched out about getting a little trim. So I'm like, dude, come on.
So I'll back to baseball. You see, we're all over the board here. What I'll say this. You've got a good eye. You're an on base guy, and I think baseball is obviously. Developed so much over the past 5-10 years, however you want to measure it, that you coming up now is probably a good thing because people value that so much. Was that something that was ingrained in you early, or did that just kind of as your game developed, that's what you did, or how did that all come about?
I think it was a mix of both. I think I've kind of gained the knowledge of the strike zone from being so young and watching a lot of baseball. I watched pretty much every Astro game ever. And until you really got to like college and stuff, and after my dad stopped playing, but I think my dad kind of instilled in me in my work and in my practice is like, hey, make sure you're practicing on pitches to hit that you're gonna hit in the game. Don't just swing at a ball just to say you hit it. So I think that kind of just translated into the games, and then it's just been developing ever since. So I can't really tell you one specific time or when I've noticed. Where it's really taken the next step, but right. I just think slowly over time I was just noticing that I was just drawing a lot more walks than everybody else.
I don't think Vladdy's dad was giving him the same
advice.
No, you guys
have
a little different coaching.
Yeah, no.
He was like, swing at anything.
You have to hit everything, even if it bounces.
What's the craziest thing you've seen Vlad Jr. do, on the field or off the field? Open it up.
That home run versus Britton last year, versus Zach Britton, was nuts.
Honestly, it might be something he did in the minor leagues.
Yeah.
Okay. I mean, I think the Vladdy everyone saw last year, he's just scratching the surface of what he can do. I mean, I've seen some pretty crazy things. You know, he hit a walk-off home run one time in Double A, and he didn't tell me, but he was like, hey, he's going to throw me a slider, and I'm going to hit it opposite field for a walk-off. And I was like, all right, like, cool
dude.
So I threw him a first pitch slider, and I was like, here he comes, he's gonna throw another one. And then sure enough, homer. And then he hit a hotel one time, which is pretty crazy.
Yeah,
but the craziest thing about him is that he literally barrels every single ball.
Yeah,
I mean, playing with him in here, Double A, Triple A, he just somehow finds a way to put a barrel on the ball, and it's 110 off the bat every single time. So he's a special hitter, man.
That at-bat versus Chapman last year was awesome. We're Yankees fans, so that's my memory goes. But that at-bat versus Chapman was so cool.
That was sick,
a battle. And even the fans in Toronto, like, everyone was, like, on this top step. And then the fans gave him a round of applause. He struck out or grounded out, but
he
it was
grounded
still
a double play.
But it was still standing ovation. Yeah. It was like, that's good baseball.
Yeah,
that was awesome.
It was must watch. It was must watch. Who's who's a guy in the Blue Jays that you think everyone around baseball should know or should talk more about?
Lourdes Gurriel Jr., for sure. That kid is, I mean, he's right up there with Vlad and Bo. I mean, he is a special hitter. He's a special athlete. And I think him moving to the outfield last year really helped him kind of get comfortable and really just kind of exhale and go out there and go play. You know, his hitting capability. I mean, he could win an MVP, I think. I mean, I think he's that good. And you look at his brother in Houston, I mean, I think he can just take it to the next level.
You got a lot of new pitchers in camp. Have you faced any in scrimmages, or I'm blanking on the term?
Live BP? BP.
I don't think I really have. I think I got some of the minor leaguers when I was down there.
Okay. You guys got some big arms coming up there too.
Yeah, we got a lot of talent pitching wise in that locker room that people don't really realize. I mean, we had a lot of rookie starters come up last year that were really solid, but I mean, the acquisitions that we made in the off season kind of pushed those guys down, or maybe to the bullpen or Triple A or whatnot. But I think we got a lot of depth there at pitching. I think a guy like Trent Thornton, who pitched pretty much all year, he's going to take a step, or a guy like Jacob Wagisbeck, who went like 7 innings or 8 innings, like one hit against the Dodgers. I mean, he's got a lot of talent.
Fun name too.
Swagisbeck is what I call it.
Oh, you just made Jake's day.
That's pretty good.
Players Weekend nickname.
I can work with that.
Yeah. And we got a guy like Nate Pearson, who throws 105 with feel for 4 pitches. So,
who was
telling
us about him today? That's who.
Eno from The Athletic.
Yeah, the dude from The Athletic was telling us about him today, and he was like, yeah, he sits 99-100.
Yeah, he's a big human being who who throws the ball very hard.
It's crazy.
I've never been labeled as either of those. What do you got?
I'm going to go move it to Toronto.
Okay.
Might have some Toronto fans listen. Have you taken to the city? A lot of guys love going there on road trips, so it's your home for 6 months now. Is there a restaurant you found? Are you still looking for suggestions?
I'm still looking for suggestions, but I found a couple spots that are pretty good.
A couple local McDanks.
I think my favorite's Cactus Club.
Okay.
I played in Vancouver in the minor leagues in short season, and they had them over there, and it's probably one of my favorite. It's just good atmosphere, good food. Got a lot of guys like to go there. You know, anywhere on King Street's pretty good. Pretty popular street with a bunch of, you know, bars, restaurants, a lot of cool places to go.
Stats-wise, you're young, and I think, you know, as baseball keeps going, the analytics keep changing. What I always like to ask players, because I'm for my personal curiosity, is what stats do you look at for preparation and projection? And then at the end of the season or at the end of a series, what are your, like, result stats? Or, like, are you looking at batting average?
About
yourself. Or is that completely out of the equation now? Is it more OPS, OPS plus, or what do you check out to see, to reflect?
I think to evaluate, like, the type of hitter I am, I think OPS is pretty important to me just because, you know, I take a lot of walks. My average isn't always going to be the highest, but if you look at my OPS, if I'm, you know, driving the ball and I'm getting on base, then I think I did a good year, had a good year. But I don't, when I'm going through the course of the season, I'm like, oh, I got to boost my OPS, I got to boost my OPS. The one thing I look at is batting average, which is weird enough because I feel like if my batting average is in a good place, everything else kind of falls into place. So, I mean, if my batting average is high, then I feel like I'm putting the barrel on the ball, I'm driving the ball, I'm getting on base, you know, I'm doing everything that I have to do.
What about prepping for a pitcher? Is there a certain pitcher, like we've been with Trevor Plouffe, and he's been telling us, soft-throwing lefties, he would just, like, lick his lips when he saw soft-throwing lefty. Is there a type of pitcher you enjoy hitting against the most?
I like facing lefties more often than righties. I don't know why. Hmm. It depends on the lefty. Like a guy like Chapman, no. Like no one really wants to face that.
You.
Or like maybe a submarine lefty that you never really face. But I like competing against lefties. I don't know whether it's because the changeup's eliminated for the most part. I mean, there's some lefties that like to challenge you with some fastball changeups. But just overall, my whole career through the minor leagues, I've always hit lefties a little bit better than righties. But when I go prepare for a pitcher, I like to go into the video room. I like to see how he challenges left-handed hitters, fastball, curveball, changeup, what they all look like from, you know, from the monitor and whatnot. So, I mean, just getting ready and just watching those guys and seeing what they do to similar hitters like myself before a game.
That's good. Yeah, I was. That's awesome. I think we're gonna play our card game in a second that we'll post somewhere. But I was gonna kick it to you if you've got any questions or anything you want to plug or any shout outs here. I mean, this is you.
How long does it take you guys to do the voiceovers on the videos?
It's my guy.
It all depends.
How many times you got to watch the video to figure out?
So it's like the writing process and then the editing. So what I had to watch both broadcasts. So I take the home and the away. I sync it up. And then I'll go through it slow on watching both of them because sometimes someone will show one. The home will show something good while the away is showing something bad. And I just scrub through it slow. It takes probably 40 minutes on average. Okay. Some suck. Some take like an hour. That's bullshit.
He's a little nuts.
If I have to read lips, it takes a while.
Yeah.
So if you're ever in an ejection, just really enunciate for me, all right? Or just DM me and be like, this is what I said.
This is what I said, quote for quote, and this is what he said.
Yeah, we perfect.
There was one gentleman we met this off season. I won't say a name, but he.
a player.
Jimmy and him linked up, and they looked at each other, and they talked about it, and the player said something mildly inappropriate.
Well, he said, "How'd you know what I said?" I said, "I read your lips, man." And then he said, "But you forgot this part. I said pussy boy at the end." And I was like, "Well, dude, I don't know. I don't know that. I've never heard that said before, so I couldn't pick up on that one."
Not a phrase you hear a lot in everyday conversations. Yeah.
Now so. I know if that player gets in another shit-talking circle, I'll be like, "All right, he's probably dropped another pussy boy here."
So we'll look out for that. But,
thanks for sitting down with us. Yeah. This wraps up the podcast portion, and then we're going to play a little card game for a little video, if that's
all
cool with you.
Yeah, let's do it.
And that was our interview with Kevin Biggio. That was good. It was nice. Actually, that was a fun one. I thought he started a little like, what is this? I don't know. I think he loosened up perfectly.
Yeah, he got into it. He came in. We also forget that now we're older than athletes.
Oh, we're old, yeah.
Yeah, we're older than athletes. So, but yeah, he knew some of your stuff. He loosened up. Cool guy. And it was honest answers. He never gave like a PR-y answer. Like I asked him about the young dudes and he was like Lourdes Gurriel. Like that dude could win MVP. Tweet and Instagram at Kevin and be like, whoa. Wow. Oh my God.
I didn't know your dad was that.
Yes, really? Mom question. That was good.
Yeah. All right, cool. And that ends this episode of Talking. Oh, I have to do a better.
Okay.
Ready? All right, I think that wraps it up here. We're done for the day. We'll be back tomorrow with another mini episode. Thank you guys for checking those out every day. And then we have Ploof's episode coming up whenever that comes out. Thursdays.
Ploof.
Ploof.
Actually, TJ Zook has given up the most home runs. 5 home runs in 4.1 innings.
Zooks?
That's tough, Zook.
My name's Zooks, and I never missed a game.
It's tough.
See ya.
Garrett Cole is tied for second, though, so.
Wind.
Good news for Zook.